Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
To me, every single person on this planet is an influencer. It's just whether or not they decide to use their influence. Everyone's it factor is their voice. Everyone has it factor. Again, it's whether or not you decide to use it. The way you choose to use your voice is in turn what shapes your influence.
You're listening to Side Hustle Pro, the podcast that teaches you to build and grow your side hustle from passion project to profitable business. And I'm your host, Nikayla Matthews-Okome. So let's get started.
Hey, hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's Nikayla here, and today in the guest chair, I have Maddie James. Now, I can't believe that I have not had Maddie on the show yet because she also has been an influential part of my journey. When I was starting out in 2015, she was another person that I looked to figure out the blogging landscape. How do I make money blogging? How do I work with brands? All that good stuff. So Maddie is a full-time content creator and the influencer behind MaddieJames.com. She creates lifestyle content for her blog, podcast, and YouTube channel while working with brands like Samsung, TJ Maxx, and J. Crew. After being crowned Miss Liberia USA in 2009, Maddie started her blog as a hobby, like most of us, and she's grown it into the business it is today. She's taught over 1,000 bloggers and entrepreneurs, including me, the business of blogging with her online courses and masterclasses. Maddie currently resides in Atlanta with her husband, Christopher, and their three children. And in this episode, I really love what Maddie had to share about positioning yourself to make money from your blog, what a content creator really is, what an influencer really is, and how to truly set yourself up for recurring revenue. So we're going to get into all of that, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Before we get into today's episode, here's a quick word from our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. We touch on it a bit in this episode, but one of the most nerve-wracking parts of being a business owner is hiring. I know for me, I'm getting ready to hire a new member to my team, and I keep thinking, man, I hope I can find someone that's just as good as the person who is moving on. Thankfully, while the hiring process itself used to be hard, with multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process, nowadays, hiring can be easy and you only have to go to one place to get it done. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hustle. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 leading online job sites. And with their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter then scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter out candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/hustle. That's ZipRecruiter.com/HUSTLE. ZipRecruiter.com/hustle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I've been following you for some time, like a long time, and I know you started your blog as a hobby, as most of us do. So what prompted you to start it back then? What was that, 2009?
Yes. So yeah, I mean, that was really the early days. I got quote unquote serious about it like 2010, 2011, but I was still on Blogspot in 2009. If anybody remembers that, those are those OG, yep, OG blogging days. And I got serious about it and bought my own domain in 2010. And yeah, I really had just been enamored by the blogging world probably since like late 2005, 2006. You know, in that era, to me, entertainment blogging was a huge thing. And I just loved it because I love pop culture. I love celebrity news. That kind of thing interests me and fascinates me. And so when I learned how people do it, I thought like I could do it myself. What I realized very quickly is that I don't have the capacity to be a celebrity news blogger, and essentially just started talking about myself and what, you know, what kind of products I like, especially when it comes to style and beauty. And that's really how I got my start.
And that's interesting that you talk about that shift, because I too experienced that, starting to blog about one thing and realizing, you know what, that just isn't my jam, and right. pivoting to what actually feels right. Now, I know you were blogging for a bit when you experienced an unexpected layoff. Can you walk us through how that experience changed your approach to blogging?
Oh, yeah. So funny enough, when I started blogging in 2010, you know, 2009, 2010, I had just gotten married. So I was a newlywed and I just ended an internship. I was interning for a radio station and then transitioned that into an internship with Brown-Forman, who are the makers of Jack Daniels. And that was really great. And my husband was really supportive. He was like, what do you want to do? Do you know, he knew I was blogging. So he's like, do you want to see if this blogging thing takes off? And it was just us. We didn't have kids yet. So he, you know, I was like, you know what, let's see if this blog thing, I don't know. I just thought overnight I would just be a success because I was so enthusiastic about it. And it's like, yeah, sis, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And about 6 months into it, I was like, you know, I had a talk with a friend at the time and she was like, listen, I get it that your husband is supportive of your dreams, but you've got to take care of home. Like, you know, he works and you guys are okay, but you need to contribute as well. And she's like, it doesn't mean you have to stop blogging, but you should probably be doing something else in the meantime until your blog does take off. And I thought that was just such a really great and honest conversation for her to have with me as a friend. And so I went ahead and I found a job and, yeah, I found a job in, what was it, like 2011? Yeah, it was like, yeah, right at the top of 2011 and end of 2010. And I became the showroom manager for a home decor company. And I ran their 2 Atlanta showrooms here. And my boss was based in New York. So I really didn't have somebody just like looking over my shoulder, you know, 24/7. So that did give me the flexibility to log on a lunch break, or if I wasn't busy fulfilling orders, I was able to still handle emails, pitch, and do those types of things. So, you know, I think God really looked out because it really was the perfect and ideal situation to be in when it comes to, you know, wanting to blog full time, but needing to, you know, earn money from a traditional quote unquote 9-to-5 at the time.
And so at what point did you start to get more serious about the blog itself?
You know what? I I got to be honest. I think I was always serious about the blog. I think that it was always something, you know, that I knew was going to become my business. I knew that was going to become my bread and butter. I knew that was going to be the thing that, you know, as my husband jokes around and says, make me famous or make me known. I think I was always serious about it. And I went in really, really honest and candid with my boss, went even for the interview for my 9 to 5. And I let him know that I have a blog. And so I'm going to need, you know, times off if I have to go to events. I was very candid. And I understand that not everybody has that flexibility, but I was really, really fortunate where he was really receptive to it. He was like, wow, that's awesome. That's cool. And yeah, so I was really, really blessed. Like I said, this couldn't have been more like tailored for me at all. Mm. And so, yeah, but I was always serious. And I knew that I was, because I went into a job interview telling my potential boss, being like, hey, just FYI, I blog. So you guys are number two. I respect it. But yeah, so I was always really serious about it. I just always knew it could become bigger than, you know, just like being cute on, you know, my blog or on social media. Right. I knew that essentially it could be a business. I just really, really believed really, really early on, which I think was important, because I was really not that good at it in the beginning.
You know, it's so funny. I could totally relate to that. Like when I interviewed for my job, at that time, I was also kind of doing it as a personal branding portfolio building move, you know? And so it was on my resume. It was like, you know, something we talked about in the interview. And it was all, I was always very forthcoming about what I was doing. And I took it seriously too, because I felt like I needed to build my personal brand, but also, you're right. I had that somewhere in me. I knew that this was going to be bigger, but I didn't know how or what or how exactly that would look. So,
right. And don't you think, like, do you think that, like, it's essentially your work situation kind of, even if they weren't sure what that meant, they kind of respected it too because of that attitude? Because I kind of felt that way too. Like, it wasn't something that I was trying to hide. Right. And it wasn't something that I treated like a hobby. So I think inevitably you kind of set the tone for them to respect it too.
I never thought about it like that, but you're absolutely right. And I think it does show a certain level of transparency and, like, you know, this girl is going to show exactly what she has on the table. She's showing us her cards, and, you know, do we think this is an asset? And yes, it is. Okay. So let's move forward.
Absolutely.
So I transitioned from blogging to podcasting. And so I relate to your journey as well, because we have to, as we're going on this path, figure out what this looks like as a revenue stream, as a true business moving forward. Like, this is not for play, okay? We have families to support, especially you. So at what stage did you realize you could make this a full-time career? Like, you were ready to make this a full-time career and not look back?
You know, I think I always tell people, this January I made it 10 years that I've been blogging. And, you know, so for me, I blogged for about 3 years before I saw any actual, like, coin that could contribute to any bill, you know, like, I'm talking about even like pay, you know, utilities. Everything was really, you know, a couple of $100 here and there. But to me, I started making like four figures around that, like 2013, 2014 mark, which was great because, you know, things started shifting with my employer at the time. And the person who was my boss was no longer with the company. And eventually I was laid off. So that was the first time for me as a blogger where I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've actually pulled off an annual income from partnerships. And like, it's a real thing. Like, this isn't fake. This isn't me hoping. This isn't me being delusional.
Right.
Real deal. So it took me about 3 years to really get to that point.
What was the shift in those 3 years? Did you start to post more frequently? Did your photos change? Did your website or team change? You know, what was that shift that led you to have consistent brand partnerships at the four-figure level?
You know, I think it was all of the above. I think I had really shifted the people who were around me. I'm somebody who is always really good with having people around her. I'm an extrovert. So, and I think I have the ability to get people excited about what I'm excited about. So I was always able to have people around me and, you know, whether I consider them an intern, an assistant or whatever. But I do think in those 3 years, like, you know, some shifts happened and I finally had people around me who were better at what I asked them to do than I was. And, you know, they weren't just a yes person anymore. They were somebody who would definitely give their feedback, like, I think this could be better. Or what if we tried this? And they really brought ideas to the table. And my like executive and business assistant now, who was back then in 2014, she's still with me. She's been with me the longest, and she handles, you know, a lot of my correspondence. But in the beginning, she was my social media manager. And I was like, hey, I have this kind of budget. You know, I was really just paying her out of my 9-to-5 check. And I was like, you know, is this something you would be open to? And she also had a day gig. And so she was like, yeah, you know, I have a couple of hours, you know, each day throughout the week to do it for you. So that's really how I started growing that. And she was noticeably better at social media than I was. Like, I think I naturally have, you know, I'm a communicator, so social media naturally comes pretty easy to me. But she was really strategic. She really did research on the latest trends and software you should be using to schedule and stuff. And she was really the first decision that I had made very strategically as far as a person versus like having her as part of my team to help me grow versus just having people around me to say I have people around me. And then I think that I really just, I mean, I just went in head first about studying content creation and got really, really crazy consistent. I mean, I was out. I was really beasting it. I really feel like at the time, you know, I was really at the top of my game. I mean, I feel like, as the girls say, you know, my foot was on everyone's neck. I really wanted it. You know, I really wanted it more than anybody else. And
yes.
I kind of feel like this resurgence, you know, of that, you know, because, you know, you do something for so long, it's easy to get comfortable. But I do feel like that kind of energy is coming back. Like if you really, really want something, it doesn't matter what the trend is. It doesn't matter what's going on. If you say you're going to go get it and you're willing to do the work, which I was, you know, I was really unstoppable, to be honest. And so I think the growth and the success was inevitable. But I, like I said, I just had tunnel vision. I really wasn't paying attention to comparing myself to anybody else, which is also easy to do online.
So important.
Yeah. I just got crazy consistent and just, you know, found a team member who was really strategic and really was excited to help me reach certain goals without wanting to be me or without wanting to have what I necessarily have. And I think that's also really important too when you're building a team.
Oh, yes. So that's a whole separate topic. Maybe we'll come back to that if we have time. But, you know, nowadays I think that people are used to hearing things like the word influencer or content creator, but there isn't necessarily always a good understanding of what it entails or also the respect that it deserves. And, right. You know, I'm big on trying to help people see that this online world is, it's happening, it's real, and it's important. Like I literally, a lot of the purchasing decisions I make these days are based on influencer recommendations, influencers I trust, right? Like right. When it came to things like deciding on things for my baby, you know, like I'm watching YouTube reviews every single night.
Oh my God, all day.
All day. So tell us a little bit more in your words, you know, what is a content creator to you? What is an influencer to you? What does this work mean to you?
Yeah, being an influencer is so important to me. And I'm so glad you asked that question because that's something I really came to terms with. You know, I do feel like I am intentionally about to make this pivot where I do focus really heavily on video. I think I've definitely been heavily focused this first 10 years of my career on, you know, my blog and text posts and social media. And so, you know, I was kind of thinking about it because I was like, oh, do I want to start like a product business or this and that? And I just love creating content. And I think you can still be incredibly entrepreneurial, really successful and be a content creator without, you know, having burnout and really enjoy that. And we don't have to make an excuse for it. And I'm one of those people. I think I'm a prime example that you can do that successfully, still have a family and, you know, live the life that you want to live. For me, a content creator and influencer are different. I do think you can be both. I would consider me that. Content creator is somebody who creates content for, you know, certain channels and does that well and can do that for a brand or do that for other people. So, you know, you could be solely a video content creator where you know how to edit, you know how to create thumbnails and stuff like that. So you're a YouTube content creator, or you could be a, you know, audio content creator. You could be a social media content creator where, and the thing is, I love it because it is such this like fluid title, right? So you can, you might not know how to edit on Final Cut Pro, but you know how to really chop up an awesome TikTok video. So content creator to me is very fluid. You don't have to have a bunch of followers to be a successful content creator, but you can be paid very, very well for it by doing it for a corporate brand or even doing it for influencers, you know, doing it for certain occasions like Essence Fest or anything like that. So to me, that is what a content creator is. An influencer is, I guess in the 2020 definition, is typically a content creator who uses their voice specifically to impact their audience in a specific niche. You know, that might be lifestyle, that might be motherhood, that might be makeup, it might be pop culture. But an influencer is somebody who is very, very, you know, they have the DNA of an influencer. Every influencer is decisive, noticeable, and an authority in some sense. So whether you're the authority on thrifting or you're the authority on newborn baby products, as long as you are an authority in the thing you like or the thing that your audience wants to hear from you, you are an influencer and you have a noticeable audience, right? So, you know, and to me, I don't feel like you need to have a million followers to be an influencer. I think even having a couple of thousand followers, but these followers are very, very loyal to you. They hang on, you know, whatever word or post you put out there about the thing that you use your voice to influence with. And to me, that is an influencer. I think nowadays being a content creator and an influencer collectively is really, really important. You know, we're really getting into this point where I'm officially off of maternity leave next week. And, you know, I just created this audio training where I talk about the five different types of influencers, because I think people think it's very, very one-dimensional. It's not. You know, you can very much be a thought influencer where you're this influencer who knows how to express what they think about pop culture in general, right? Whether it's politics, it's music, it's sports. You know, somebody like Stephen A. Smith is an influencer, but very much a different influencer than Oprah. To me, Oprah's is a thought influencer, but I think she started out very much so, you know, well, has, you know, is eventually evolved into the Oprah we know now, which is the lifestyle influencer, you know, the creme de la creme. You know, how she lives her life and how she operates is essentially how we know and love her, and that's how she influences. I also think there's things like a performance influencer. Somebody like LeBron James is influential simply because he performs the best at what he does, which is play basketball. So being an influencer, as you can see, is different than being a content creator. You can absolutely do both. I'm an example of that. But somebody like LeBron James is not a content creator, but very much so an influencer because he's the best at basketball.
Yes. I love how you broke that all down. Thank you. And it just also makes me realize that all of this, it's like, you know, it's such a big responsibility, and you hope that people will use it for good and not for evil, right?
Right. Because it is power, right?
It is power. Influencer is power. But it's also very helpful. One, for these brands, like they could never in a million years, for example, if I take a baby product, a brand could never in a million years just get up there and make a commercial about their stroller and me care. However,
right.
If I see you talking about this, going out about your day, talking about how easy it was to put it in your car and how light it was, I'm like, I'm taking notice. Now I'm going to look this product up, right? Because it just feels real and human to me. This is an actual human who I've seen her go through her pregnancy journey, and now she's telling me how it's helping her.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why, to me, you know, and like I said, that this is something that I'm really going to be expounding on this year. That's why we really have to pay attention to the DNA of influence. You know, like I said, this, you got to be decisive, you got to be noticeable, and you have to be an authority. But that is why you pay attention to me or whoever your go-to trusted influencers are, right?
Right.
I think, you know, we throw around, you know, buzzwords all the time, right? Like brand and, you know, business and influence, yes, all of these things, you know. But for me, it's really about understanding. To me, the best influencers understand why they're influential and why their influence impacts their audience. You know what I mean? A brand is a story. So your personal brand is a story. But essentially, even if a brand isn't personal, it's a story, right? So every company, for the most part, every successful company has a brand. That's the story they're telling, but a business provides a solution. So Not every single brand is a business, but most successful businesses have a brand. So for me, I feel like if you're a really good influencer, you might not necessarily have a business, but you absolutely understand your story, AKA your brand. To me, every single person on this planet is an influencer. It's just whether or not they decide to use their influence. Everyone's it factor is their voice. Everyone has it factor. Again, it's whether or not you decide to use it. Your it factor is your voice. So if me and you grew up the same way, we were born in the same hospital, we were born in the same neighborhood, we went to the same school, we ended up going to the same college, got the same job, and ended up becoming influencers at the same time, the reason it would be very different, our it factor is different, our voice is different. And I think what we have to realize is the way you choose to use your voice is in turn what shapes your influence. So at the end of the day, with your DNA, it's not just having like this really cute, you know, acronym, which I love to have, but essentially your DNA is deciding how to use your voice, making your story noticeable, and then figuring out what you're an authority about so you can make a very, very clear impact on your audience. If you don't do those three things, then your influence will really just kind of stay at square one. But everybody has influence. Again, it's just whether or not you choose to use it. And then you can go a step further, whether you choose to use it for evil or for good.
And I think one of the trickiest parts and one of the hardest barriers for people to overcome is that story piece. That story piece of, you know, you might know what your it factor is, but how do you tell that story? And how do you do it consistently over and over again? You feel redundant. So do you have any tips for people who are not naturally or don't consider them natural storytellers?
Yeah, you know, and that's why to me, I always say, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, how do I tell my story? The goal is to make the story noticeable. Usually the way you make a story noticeable is by figuring out what part of your story is the most human. Right? Because at the end of the day, that's all we want to do. We just want to connect with people who have experienced similar situations, who have felt the way we have felt. At the end of the day, that's why stories still rule the world. You know, whether it's a book, whether it's a movie, whether it's a song, we all connect with stories. So your goal is to make it noticeable. To me, the easiest way to make a story noticeable is to pull out the humanity of it. So I think when you allow yourself to be vulnerable, to be transparent, to even be funny, you know, or even to be dramatic, it's whatever part of your story, you know how to, you know, use your voice to make it noticeable, I think is the most impactful. So, you know, if you growing up, you know, maybe you're at this point where you're trying to start your business, right? And you're selling snacks. But the reason why snacks were so important to you because of, you know, how much snacks meant to you when you were in middle school and you got that extra dollar from doing your chores to buy snacks at school, that right there is going to connect people because, you know, most of us went to middle school, right? And, you know, if some of us had a school store, that right there is connecting us like, man, I remember the school store and all of that. And so in turn now, we're connecting with you as a person, right? Because the reason why you want to make it noticeable via humanity is because people buy from people. They don't buy from companies. They don't buy from, So at the end of the day, to me, the way you make something the most noticeable is by pulling out the humanity of it. What is the common ground with your audience? Who are you speaking to? And also being clear on what you're trying to do with your story, right? Are you trying to make them laugh? Are you trying to inspire them? Are you trying to get them to understand something, right? And so that is what you need to get them to notice, whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And so for all of us, that's different. You know, that is why me and you could go through the same exact path with life, but we may be trying to get our audience to see something different at the end of our story. But yeah, I think it's about connecting. I think it's about paying close attention to the questions people ask you, because I think what people ask you or what people seem to be drawn to you for will tell you how you need to shape your story. It doesn't mean you need to make something up with your story. It just means you need to mold it in a different way. You know, you might have not thought that you were a funny person, right? You know, you might have been like, you know, I'm trying to tell, you know, people about my journey, you know, with having children and, you know, being postpartum and overcoming depression. But maybe you do it in a way that's lighthearted and makes people laugh. So maybe you can shape it in a way where it makes people laugh and connects them and makes them feel more comfortable through humor to also then share their stories or to listen to your story about how you overcame it.
Now, can you remember the very first brand that you ever worked with? How did that partnership come about? Did you pitch them? Did they approach you?
They pitched me. It was American Express for their prepaid card. They paid me $250 on the prepaid card, and they gave me two tickets to see Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, okay. Well, how very unique. So all of these brand partnerships, and I know because I get approached for things, but I would consider myself an accidental influencer, Maddie. Like, I was just focused on my podcast sponsorships. Yep. I was not trying to do any Instagram posts. I didn't know where to begin with that. I still don't know where to begin. So I'm going to be a case study today. You're going to help me out.
I'm ready.
So how did you know what to accept from American Express? Like, did you set that rate, or was that just the beginning of you saying, hey, I'm filling this out. I'm going to learn the process and worry about the fees later.
Absolutely the latter. I mean, in the beginning, when someone pays you for the first time, you're not trying to get them upset or ruffle any feathers. So you're like, $250 it is, and I will take these tickets.
Yes.
And I was just so happy. You know, again, I didn't grow up seeing bloggers. You know, I grew up seeing traditional celebrities and stuff like that get million-dollar deals. So I didn't even think that little old me, quote unquote, would be able to get money because I simply started a blog online. You know, I knew, but I didn't really know, you know.
Right.
So in the beginning, I was just happy. I was like, perfect. I did not negotiate. I did not present them with a number. They presented it to me. I took the first offer and I kept it cute and moving. Very, very different how I handled partnerships nowadays, but yeah, it was just exciting that
someone
wanted to pay me for being myself.
Yeah.
I was just like, cool, you know. Me and my husband had a free date night because of American Express.
And like, how many partnerships later did you shift into, okay, I need to set my price, I need to figure out my rate, and how did you do that?
I think it was 2013 when I did the 24-hour runway show, which is presented by Cotton. And they came to me. It was they hit me with like a 39-page deck. I was like, I was like, oh, you know, they flew me out to New York, you know, for an immersion event, which is an immersion event is just an event like a brand will fly you out, the influencers who are part of the campaign, and just immerse you into what's going on here. Right. So, they flew me to New York, did that. And then it was like 5 months of content creation. And then the 24-hour runway show, which was in Miami. And then they flew me down for that as well. And that was like the first really, really huge brand deal where I was like, okay. And it was like the first time where I was like, there's a comma in the price point. So yeah, it was that was the first time. And I think also too, because when I got there, some of the other influencers there had managers and agents. Ooh. And so I was like, if I'm in a place where people have agents and stuff like that, it's time for me to up the price.
Right.
And I thought I did a really good job. Like, I didn't regret anything, you know, like I think the price point that I gave them, cause I still don't have, you know, a traditional like manager or agent or anything like that. I just, you know, was like, okay, you know, for this amount of work, I'm going to ask for this much. And they said, okay. And I was like, all right.
So you mentioned that other people have agents. And I know that there's this conversation with people saying we need to talk more. We need to share our rates to make sure that no one is lowballing and setting the price too low. But how do you know if you're being paid a fair rate or if you're setting your prices at a good place?
You know what? I have several off the record conversations with other influencers where I share, you know, I think that I hope that I have this approachability with the influencers that I'm, you know, friendly with, where, you know, they can ask me questions. And I'm honestly usually pretty transparent, you know. Typically for me, though, internally, how I know if I'm too low is if the brand says yes too quick.
Mm.
If a brand comes back and says, hey, we need to kind of look at our budget, then I ask them for the right amount. I'm currently, you know, for the sake of transparency, like I just asked a brand for, I mean, a grip, you know what I mean? I'm like, hey, I need $50,000, you know, and I broke it down, you know, and they're like, we don't know if we have 50 in the budget. And to be honest, if I'm being really frank, I really want like, you know, but the real goal is like probably like $11,000 less than that. But I was like, let me ask for 50.
Yeah.
And then if you come back with 38, then we're good.
We're good. And this is not just for a post, to be clear. Like, this is for months of work.
Let's be
right?
very clear. Okay. This is for months, you know, it's like for half a year. So let's be very clear. You know, it's definitely not for one Instagram post or even a blog post. So let's be very clear. It's what I like to call a mid to long term partnership. So for me, if I'm not slightly uncomfortable to ask you for it, it usually is large enough number. If I'm comfortable, if I'm like, oh, I would like 4,500 and you say yes, I probably could have gotten like 6,500.
Mm-hmm. You know? For sure.
Yeah. So it's usually that. And, you know, my assistant usually helps me and corresponds for pricing and stuff like that. And so typically if we get the yes too quick, she's like, damn it, we could have asked for 7,500, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, and things like that. But I think it's just a learning curve. And then also, like, clearly not all of my brand partnerships are going to be for $38,000-$40,000, you know,
right.
Let's be clear, you know. So, you know, I might do the same scope of work, right? I think this is the other thing we need to start being transparent about. And this is what, you know, what I'm teaching and sharing in my masterclasses and webinars, but mm-hmm. you know, I might do the same scope of work for a brand at $2,500 and for another brand, I did it for like $5,500. It depends on, you know, one, how much I want to be affiliated with the brand, how much free product they're giving me, the relationship I have
right.
with them.
If it's the beginning of a relationship that, you know, future things could come out of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think we need to be, you know, understand like, hey, not everything girl is going to be $5,000-$7,000. You know what I mean?
Right.
This might look like $2,500 in this instance. For the next instance, it might be $5,500. For another instance, it might even be $2,000.
Right.
And I think it's up to you internally, you know, whether you work by yourself or you work with the team, whether you set your own standard, you know, where you're like, you know what, I really like them. Hopefully this can become like something where it's a long-term relationship. So let's go ahead and do it for this rate, you know? And that's something I've had to learn too. You know, I've done some really silly things where I've done stuff for super, super low, where it's like, I did too much work for very, very little money. And I have gotten kind of, you know, egotistical and kind of been like, well, no, I'm not going to do it for that much money. And it's like, girl, you just said no to $15,000. Take a deep breath. You know, like, take a deep breath.
Relax.
Hey, guys, it's Nikayla here with a quick word from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Skillshare. The online learning community is offering Side Hustle Pro listeners 2 months of free premium membership. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with classes from Skillshare. My number one side hustle advice is to always be a lifelong learner. That means continue learning new ways to grow your business each and every week. For me, that comes through Skillshare. There's so many awesome classes on Skillshare on topics like email marketing, Instagram hacks, setting up your own website, copywriting, and much more. What I like to focus on are classes to fine-tune my skills. Most of the classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit any schedule. And I tend to listen to classes on 2x speed because I want to get as many in as possible. I recently took a Skillshare class called Copywriting Tips from Beginner to Advanced and found it so valuable because I'm in a zone right now where I'm laser focused on the copywriting in my Facebook ads, which I know some of you guys are seeing. And Skillshare has been very helpful with that. Whatever your business needs, though, you can find a class for it on Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/sidehustlepro, where you'll get 2 free months of premium membership. That's 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/sidehustlepro. If you listen to my episode on how to make money podcasting, then you know that I pitched my very first sponsor 6 months after launching this show. And you know what else I did once I landed the contract? I invoiced them using FreshBooks. FreshBooks made it so simple. That's because FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners. It's simple, it's intuitive, and it keeps you organized. FreshBooks lets you create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. Plus, you can file expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. And the best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools you need when you need them without ever having to learn how to do accounting. Try it free for 30 days, no catch and no credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/sidehustlepro and enter Side Hustle Pro in the How Did You Hear About Us section to get started. Again, that's freshbooks.com/sidehustlepro and tell them Side Hustle Pro sent you.
So you touched on your masterclass. So I want to know more about this. You know,
for up-and-coming bloggers, online marketers, influencers? What is it that you teach and what can people learn from you?
So a lot of people are familiar with my course, Pitch Please, which I'm going to be launching only 2 times this year. I really, really love it because I think a lot of people who are influencers or want to be influencers on this, like, you know, very serious side hustle or like full-time level don't really know the ins and outs of that. And it really was a course for me to be transparent about numbers, how to price, how to ask brands for money, you know, but Pitch Please is simply just pitching. I think before that, of course, though, people have to learn how to even position themselves as an influencer and content creator for brands to even work with them, you know? And so I will be focusing a lot on that too, because if I teach you how to pitch, but you don't have content worth pitching, then this is null and void, you know? And I don't want anybody mm-hmm. to feel like, oh, she told me this, but it didn't work. And it's like, well, it didn't work because you didn't have the tools. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I can't tell you how to like remove a screw, but you don't have a screwdriver. So yep. for me, really working on that. But then I think we're going to go a step further this year, which I'm really excited about, and really offering an accelerator for people who are very serious, like I was, about becoming an influencer at a full-time level and really teaching them how to run an influencer business, because I also think that's a huge void, because knowing how to pitch and knowing how to run a business are very different things. You know, I can teach you how to pitch and you know how to ask for money here and there, but how to make that a recurring stream of income is a little bit different. It does get a little bit more intensive.
Oh, yes. And we're going to get into that in a bit. And I know exactly what you mean for someone. So I teach my podcast moguls about everything from starting out, launching, getting your podcast out there, but then positioning yourself for monetization comes mm-hmm. before the actual pitch yep. module and lesson, because you can't pitch a brand and entice them if they go back to your page or your podcast and you know, it's not a fit
right.
or it's just not visually appealing
right.
or any of those things, right?
Right?
What would be your advice to new bloggers, just like some general tips right now of how they can position themselves to work with brands? What's the groundwork?
Well, I think what we have to do first and foremost, right, because I think everyone who's familiar with me, or if you're just now becoming familiar with me because of this awesome podcast, I will sing it into the ground. It is a hill I will die on. You've got to be consistent. You know what I mean? There's yes. there is no substitute to consistency, right? But I yep. think I do want to make sure that I'm being very transparent about your consistency too, right? Like, you know, being consistent is really important, because the more you do something, you'll inevitably get better at it. But then you also want to make sure you're studying how to create better content as well, you know? So in the beginning, you might just have your cell phone, you know, you might just have your smartphone that you know how to create content with, right? And that's fine. But then let's like look into how to shoot really great iPhone photos, if that is your ministry, you know? Then hopefully you'll, you know, get a couple partnerships, save up for a big, you know, camera, and get your, you know, a professional camera, and then be able to create content with something like that. But I think studying content creation, really creating a process for your content creation is really important as well. I think a lot of people who are very new to the content creation and influencer scene think that people are just creating in real time, which couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
That's not how it happens. I have a whole husband and 3 children, so that's absolutely not what's happening. So just studying that, whether it's editing pictures, how to write really great captions, you know, writing good blog posts, editing videos, writing great description box, you know, content as well. If you're doing YouTube, you know, same thing, like, you know, with your podcast, what's the SEO like, you know, studying those things is really, really important as well. It's not just about posting. It's also about promoting as well. So I think like in the beginning, you just really have to learn how to create content, then get better at it by being consistent. I think those are the 2 things you need to focus on in the very, very beginning. Then we can start getting into strategy and stuff like that. But if you don't know how to do the what on a regular basis, then it doesn't matter what I tell you. I can tell you all the secrets, but you don't have the what.
And I remember you posted something on your Instagram story. I forgot to take a screenshot, but you were talking about, you know, and this is now shifting into the whole what to charge and pricing advice. So you posted something like, if you have 10,000 followers, you can, like, you could think about pricing as 10% of your followers or something like that. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
So for example, like, let's put me in the case study seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what should Nikayla be charging at now 75,000 Instagram followers? Of course, you know, actual engagement and impressions will be less mm-hmm. than that, as Instagram does what it does and hates. You know, is there a ballpark that I should be looking at?
Yeah, I would say for me, I'm like the 6 to 10% girl. I think you could honestly, for a one-off Instagram post, you could ask for, you know, whatever the 6% of that is, but let's just say it's like around 5,000. You could ask for $5,000. Doesn't mean necessarily mean you'll get it, but you could ask for that. Right. And at least, like, even if they come up and they're like, hey, we have 3,500, still not right. a bad situation for one post. But to me, I always tell people to package, you know, the a la carte thing. You know, you'll be out here doing 7,800, you know, yes, partnerships to like make ends meet, you know what I mean? Or to make the kind of money you dream of making. So for me, with you, I would do like, you know, maybe like 2 Instagram and feed posts and maybe, you know, 3 to 5 frames for Instagram stories. And I would offer that for 7,500 since you have 75,000. Most people will take that, you know what I mean? And this is, of course, pending things like exclusivity and licensing and whitelisting and stuff like that, which is also things that people need to consider as well. And I dive really deep in, you know, when it comes to pitch please. I think a lot of people don't understand agreements. And they don't understand agreements. And they don't even understand all the things that they could be leveraging. And especially as a Black creator, I think that, like, you know, for you at 75,000, you could really be charging the same thing that your white counterpart is charging at 250, 300,000, just because most of the brands that are trying to work with you or that you really want to work with don't know how to talk to your audience. And I stand by mm-hmm. that statement 100%. And they usually don't have any decision makers that look like you either. So if you want to talk to the Black millennial woman who listens to my podcast, then I'm definitely going to charge you for that.
I love that you shared all of that. Thank you. Because, you know, I think the working with brand space when you're a podcaster is different than when you are a content creator for social media and that's your main platform. So with podcasting, it's been great because there's a framework in terms of, you know, there's a download metric and, you know, what brands will charge per monthly downloads and average monthly downloads and all of that. And from there, you can run with it. You know, I for one, don't just stick to that. Oh, this is what you deserve thing. I, you know, add tax to that. Right. Mm-hmm. But with the space of social media, with everyone having different ranges and all of that, that can be a little trickier, but it is a space that I plan to do more with in the future.
Oh, yeah.
So
I encourage
really
you to.
Thank you for sharing that.
There's so many like great opportunities. And I feel like, you know, a lot of us, right, are leaving good money on the table just because we're like, mm-hmm. you know, I think we start to overthink it, which is so easy to do. We're like, oh, well, they probably think that I need this, this, and that. And again, like you said, like you're not buying the stroller for your baby because of a commercial that you saw on NBC or on television. You're usually buying it because of the girl who lives in Springfield, Ohio, who decided to do a YouTube video to really break down how she put it in her minivan.
Exactly.
That's why they paid that girl or sent it to her for free, because, you know, like I've worked with
ask how many people I've DM'd about strollers, like, oh, ask my gosh, them. They'll come and tell you.
Yeah, the one time using it, like my husband looked at me, he's like, you cannot buy another stroller. You just can't. Like, you can't do it. You know, he's like, one, you don't need to, because every time we have a kid, companies send a stroller, so you don't have to, you know. But I get it, you know what I mean? Like, knowing the best product and getting something from someone that you trust, it just feels different, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're gonna buy your stroller, you're having a baby, so having a stroller isn't the issue. It's like, not only do you want to have the right one, but you know, getting the right one from somebody you trust just means a little bit more, again, because you are now essentially connected to that person's story, and now you can pass that on and keep essentially that influence legacy going.
So now you mentioned that you are getting ready to launch a more in-depth course or information regarding how you can actually make this a business. And you're right that one-offs, they're nice, but that's not a business model, you know? Yeah. And you and I, in our line of work, we both have to sit down and be strategic about, okay, how am I making money this year? What can I expect? Because you can't live your life blindfolded and every month wondering how much will I make this month?
So I've been there. Yeah, it's not fun.
It's not fun. So, you know, give us a sneak peek and let people know what you'll be teaching as far as how do you guarantee recurring revenue? How do you project month over month what you'll be making? And then ensure that you actually get that from the people who owe you money.
Right, right. It's just, it's a process, man. You know, and I think a lot of, again, I think a lot of people go into it thinking like, I just have to look cute for the gram every day. And it's right. Like, it is so much more than that. Trust me, if I was only beating my face and getting dressed, that this would be a cakewalk. I think first and foremost for me, it is really making sure that I am teaching influencers how to position themselves to even pitch a brand. You know, again, I can tell you like how to go find a brand contact, how to price yourself, how much you should be asking for and stuff like that. But again, if you don't have the content worth asking for the money, then it's like, again, I've really sold you short. So for me, really starting from a high level, really working on, you know, community aspect for that, you know, also too, because we don't work in a typical 9-to-5. I'm not at a cubicle where I can like lean over and ask Sheila, you know, how did her campaign go with this brand? Because I'm about to work with them as well. So really also creating this community aspect to it is really, really important to me. So really starting there, really focusing on content creation. It's important to me that people have access to that kind of information and really have information from somebody who has experience, someone who is actually still doing it as well. It's not like I'm not taking information from 2015 and 2016 and then presenting it to you. It's something I still actively do and get paid for. So that's important to me. And also, you don't really see a lot of that, which is unfortunate. I hope that we become more transparent and really, you know, teach each other how to do these things, because I think us all winning together is much more fun and worthwhile. Secondly, of course, Pitch Please is going, you know, the course is going to continue. With Pitch Please, we've really evolved it, and I'm really excited about it, because not only do I teach you how to pitch, we do kind of cover the groundwork for how to position yourselves and stuff like that, and prep your content in a way where when you pitch, you can kind of point the brand to things that make you look desirable to work with. But then also how to shape a pitch, how to say things in email, when you hop on the phone with them, how to essentially, you know, operate and correspond in that. Because I think that's for a lot of people, they're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I get it. You know, not only do you not know what to say, being on the phone with a brand can kind of be intimidating. And then talking about money is usually uncomfortable for most people. So knowing how to do all of that is an art itself. And we talk about that in Pitch Please. But then lastly, in Pitch Please, the new last module that I've created is really, what does a partnership look like from top to bottom? Because I think that's a whole nother aspect. A pitch is separate from a partnership. And so like, once you sign the contract, what are the next steps? You know, how should you be executing the partnership to make sure it's a success? So inevitably you can kind of rinse and repeat this process and hopefully create something for this brand that makes them want to hire you again. Then at that next level for me with teaching is the accelerator. And this is going to be for my more serious people, you know, where we really get to dive deep and talk about how to make this a business. Again, those are processes. Of course, you know, things that were taught in Pitch Please will be reintroduced and implemented in here as well. But to me, the real thing is like creating your business systems, right? So what kind of bank accounts you should have in place. Also talking about things like, you know, taxes and all of that, you know, really the quote unquote not so glamorous business things. But on top of that, really now how to set these income goals. You know what I mean? Like if you want to make 15,000, what does that look like? How often do you need to be pitching? How much money should you be asking for? And really what people don't realize, it's building those relationships. When people like you, they'll pay you. But are you building relationships for people to like you? Or are you just like randomly cold emailing people and hoping they respond to you? And we really talk about that relationship building and how you create this like very successful ingoing and outgoing pitch system. So if brands pitch you, you can say yes to this or no to this. And also you start saying yes and no based off of who you want to work with. Are they contributing to you building your authority that you want to be associated with? You know what I mean? Like if your focus is beauty, but somebody's reaching to you out about promoting batteries and it's lower than the rate you usually, you know, ask for, then, you know, that's a no. While somebody who is a household name brand, beauty brand, and you want to be an authority in beauty, you know, to say yes to that. So it's those little things that we talk about as well. And essentially what these systems should look like, you know, behind the scenes, you know, spreadsheets, you know, not only for the income generation planning, but also what your pitch process should look like, what you can automate, what you definitely need to be handling in real time and handling yourself that you shouldn't necessarily be delegating, and what that looks looks like in the whole scope of a year, because to me, that 12-month process is really important, because you've got to think about things like taxes. You got to think about things like income goals. You also need to think about things like if you do have a team member or a small team like myself, where there's three or four other people working on your business as an influencer, and really now looking, instead of just looking at yourself as this influencer who creates content, really essentially you are creating this content company, and what that means for the different channels that you use. You know, for somebody who does YouTube, that's going to look different than somebody whose focus is really Instagram and their blog, or maybe their focus is really like Twitter and TikTok. And so that is really important to make sure you understand in detail. And that's what the accelerator is going to focus on. Because again, getting, you know, me teaching you how to pitch may teach you how to get $2,500, $3,500, you know, here and there. But the accelerator is going to teach you how to, like, you know, get that 15 to 25,000 or however much you want to make on a regular basis, depending on how much effort and time you want to put into it.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, and when we keep them bottled up, it affects us negatively. I have found that therapy has been a safe space to get things off my chest. I had my daughter last August, and by January, I hit up my therapist like, let's go ahead and set up this monthly session. Therapy has been so helpful for me in setting boundaries, and it just empowers me to be the best version of myself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, this is your sign to go ahead and do it and give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/hustlepro today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/hustlepro.
Now, I know you don't want to be overly dependent on waiting for a brand to pay you, right? So what are your revenue streams these days? And you notice you said you're only launching that twice. So do the courses play a large part of that? How do you break up your revenue streams?
Yeah. So this year we're being really strategic because it's like, essentially, you know, my husband gut punched me one day. He's like, what happens when you're not hot no more? You know, and you know, I'm like, well, you know, valid question. You know, I'm not saying that when I turn 40, you know, it's just like, I'm just going to be so above, you know, making sponsored content. But it's like, yeah, you know, what happens if you don't necessarily want to, one, the industry changes all the time. You know, what happens if you don't want to do this anymore? Your kids get older, you know, things like that. You might not want to put as much time into that. For me, I'm really blessed because I've been creating courses and masterclasses for the last 5 years, and that has always brought me in a really great money. I've been making high five figures and even six figures from that stream of income. So that's always a blessing. The last 2 years, though, most of my money, like last year, I think in 2019, 82% of my income was brand partnerships. And so for me, it definitely has become a lot more lucrative. But for me, I definitely want to scale that back. I'm really looking to make maybe closer to 35 to 40% of my income being, you know, courses or informational offers, you know. So whether it's my membership, you know, my community membership, like I mentioned, Pitch Please, or even the accelerator. So for me, the accelerator, doing it a couple of times a year, it's 6 weeks, you know, it's a 6 week program. Pitch Please is pretty much self-paced. So, you know, when I launch it, once you get in, you're in. And then the membership will be pretty evergreen, you know, and we will open up the list every month. So for me, those are going to be three streams of income that'll really kind of, you know, make a difference. And I've never run a membership. I've never done an accelerator at this level before. So that'll be interesting. I also have affiliate links, you know, whether it's Amazon reward style or even like the programs and software that I use, like ConvertKit or whatever have you. I think for me, affiliate marketing has been something that's always been there, but I actually don't really maximize. And I realize that with the size of my audience and actually how engaged and locked in I am with my audience, it is a missed opportunity. So really just kind of focusing on that, to me, it would be great if I could even get like 10% of that, of my income to even be that, you know. It's just something that I've underutilized and just want to see if that's something that I'm, one, you know, good at and I can do, and if that actually does make a difference when I mention things to my audience, they respond to it. So can I now position links to kind of help me benefit from that? And then lastly, you know, in like 2017, I had, you know, shirts and mugs and stuff like that. Physical product is always something that I wanted to get into. And so we're actually working on something a little bit different. The mugs are coming back since I, you know, do the Instagram story of my coffee mug every single morning. So it's like inevitably, you know, selling some coffee mugs works, you know, with like just like my two little, I guess I would say my unofficial themes of life, which is Slay Your Day and David Your Goliath. Those are like my themes I say to my podcast all the time. So we'll be back to selling those because people have asked. And I think I've kind of just been like, oh, people aren't really interested. And it turns out they are. And then we're working on like another physical product. I'm actually going to be collaborating with my husband on it. And it's something that I'm really excited about. I actually cannot believe it doesn't exist already. But that'll be like my first real push at a physical, like custom made product to my audience and seeing, you know, how to pivot in that capacity. But physical product is something that I've always wanted to get into, and will continue to expound on in like 2021 and beyond. But I'm really looking forward to it because I think essentially that is where, you know, the next 10 years of Maddie James as a brand will evolve. You know, like I think I've really done a good job this first decade with, you know, content. And I think that will definitely continue, but it'll evolve and pivot as I can, you know, as I now start to offer products.
Awesome. I am very excited for all of this. And yes, getting back to the product, I think will be so great for you. I loved when you had those items of merch. So before we get into the lightning round, I'd love to know if you had a chance to start the business and brand of MaddieJames.com all over again, from side hustle to now full-time entrepreneur, what would you do differently?
Focus on video. Hands down. I would have been all up and through YouTube.
I'm You're awesome on video. I just see that growing in no time.
Okay. That's sweet. Yeah. And I think that's really what it is. I think that, and it's not from a place of ego. I just am really good on video. I've always wanted to be on TV. So I think being in front of a camera has always naturally come to me. And then I've just kind of always been in the research of content creation. And I'm just thinking like, man, the 10 years that I've put into being a blogger and influencer, had I put into kind of focusing more on video content, it just would have been wildly different, just because people would rather watch than read. And that doesn't mean that if you have a, you know, text-based blog, you shouldn't do that. But I just think that things would have been different. Mm-hmm. I don't have any regrets or anything like that. Like I said, I think that's really, for me, in the content sense for my brand, that's what this, you know, next 10 years is all about, is just like really like killing it at video. And that's why I was like, I feel so excited, because I'm like, literally, like, I'm, you know, just excited to dive headfirst into that.
Yes. And, you know, the one thing about that, though, it's like, I think that sometimes we all look back and we're like, oh, I should focus on this channel or that channel. But there's something to be said for doing something really well with excellence for a long time, getting that to a good place and then switching over rather than being out here trying to do it all. Like people tell me, should I launch my podcast, you know, on all the platforms plus do YouTube? And I'm like, are you planning to just post your audio with a picture of your logo on YouTube? Because if that's the case, you can
then
save
yes,
it.
Yes, have at it.
you can save it, okay? Wait until you can actually dedicate resources to make videos that are engaging. And, and you know, oftentimes we don't have the bandwidth to do both, especially when we're side hustling. So,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Especially when you're side hustling, you know, I think it's important to say that, you know, I think that's a really, really great point. Don't spread yourself out too thin. Like I said, if I could do it differently, that's what I would do, but I have no regrets. I like, again, I cannot even believe that this is my life and I get to live it, that I essentially get paid to be myself. So this is wild to me, you know, that this is, you know, my career. But at the end of the day, I think it is about doing things with excellence and doing things and putting things out that you're going to be proud of, not just now, but 10 years from now, you can look back and say, you know what, I really did that. And I feel that way exactly about, you know, my content.
And I know I said where I was going to jump into lightning round, but I just thought I cannot, you know, have this interview end without touching on this. I can't believe we forgot to, but as a mompreneur and someone who is a, you know, mom shiro in my head, I'm curious to know, not the cliche, oh, how do you do it all? But I think you have really great systems from what I've seen, you know, from an observer outside looking in, and things like even being able to take this interview during the day and like not a peep going on in the background. How are you doing this? How are you managing your children and being an entrepreneur?
Well, my son is a saint, so that's the first thing. No, you know, I have a 7.5 week old. He's currently sleeping. And so I think, and my other two children, my daughters, they're 5 and 2, they go to school during the day, Monday through Friday. So that's first and foremost. It's not like I have three children at home and I'm just like flawlessly doing it all. Very much so. Happily pay for school, childcare, and if you have the means to do it, by all means, you know, take advantage of that. But for me, like I knew that we were going to chat around, you know, one. So I was like, okay, how do I pace out his eating schedule? So I know that he's nice and full. He's changed. We've cuddled. We've spent some time together, which that's all that newborns really want. And then I know I can usually get a long nap out of him, one long nap out of him during the day. And so I was like, okay, how do I kind of position him to do that and not do it too early to where he's waking up in the middle of this interview?
Right.
And honestly, I think that's just knowing your children too, right? So if it was like, you know, my oldest daughter, I would have done something differently. Obviously, she's 5, so she doesn't need that. So I would have probably just like, you know, pushed her screen time until this point. You know, she usually gets about an hour of screen time a day. So I would have been like, have at it while I'm on this. But yeah, it really is about process and systems. Like, you know, they were off from school last week. So last week was definitely intense. You just had a lot of moving parts around. We had lots of fun, but it's lots of work. And, you know, they went back to school today. So, you know, last night prepped everybody's lunch. You know, for me, just the kitchen being clean because our house is open concept, like, you know, making sure the kitchen is clean. So when you come downstairs, you can kind of operate out of order and not chaos. It is always a big thing. Making sure me and Hubs are on the same page. He's just so incredibly hands-on. And I, you know, I'm really, really fortunate. My partner is really, really hands-on, really, really involved. And it's still a lot of work because, you know, we used to be, you know, we weren't outnumbered before, right? We were playing man-to-man, and now we're playing zone coverage. So he usually will get the girls ready in school while I feed the baby. And then when he leaves for work, we leave and I take them to school. So you just figure it out, you know? Yeah. And the thing is, you don't get used to anything because as soon as you get used to it, then like, you know, your newborn is now a toddler and the toddler is now in, you know, in elementary school and the elementary schooler is now in middle school. So it's just, it's always changed. So you really can never get comfortable, which I think is such a really great thing. You know, I think having children instills that lesson into you for sure. And for me, I just have a system for everything. Like when I get off of this interview, I'm going to go ahead and prep dinner because, you know, my husband will work late tonight. So I want to have dinner ready. So once I pick up the girls from school, I don't have to come back and try to, you know, juggle them, like trying to figure out what to do after school snack and stuff like that. It's like, it's already prepped. anything you can do to prep ahead of time, including your decisions, is going to help you so much. Because for me, because I'm a creative, I do need that bandwidth to be creative during the day, especially because I really only have usually about like that 5 to 6 hours during the day. I don't have a typical 8-hour day because my kids are still so small and I work from home. But yeah, anything to make decisions ahead of time. So those small little decisions, like what to wear, what to eat, where to go, you know, what needs to be picked up. Those need to be captured, written down, whether it's in your Google Calendar, your notes app, you know, your physical planner, if you're somebody who works better, you know, in the analog sense. But anything I can do to just kind of make decisions ahead of time, especially those small decisions, help me keep my brain power and my bandwidth for my creativity during the day. So anything, right? Like I already knew what my day looked like when I went to bed last night. Tonight, I know what my day looks like for tomorrow and so forth. And those little things just, you know, really make a big difference from what I'm going to wear to what they're going to wear. And even making sure like little things like that, I can make sure I can help my husband with like where his AirPods are. So in the morning, we're not all going crazy. It's so huge. Like you cannot prevent the chaos, but anything that you can control for the most part, try to. And a lot of times it's just those decisions.
Thank you for that. And that's funny because my husband can never find his earphones in the morning either when he's getting ready to leave. It's like, didn't we do this?
Oh my gosh. Everything, so, right? Whether it's his glasses, right? His wallet, right? You know, and Chris is great. You know, everybody knows, you know, he's usually on my stories and stuff like that. And he's really great. But like, you know, we have mornings where it's like he's looked for his glasses for 10 minutes and it's like, this could have been avoided had we just prepped the night before. Things like that, you know. They do make a big difference.
Yeah. All right. So here we are now. It's time for the lightning round. You just answer the very first thing that comes to mind. Speed is of the essence. You ready?
Yes.
All right. Number one, what is a resource that has helped you in your business that you can share with the Side Hustle Pro audience?
I think InstaStyle by Tezza. The book was really helpful for me to create content on Instagram. So if you know, your Instagram aesthetic is important to you, and you're, especially if you're focused on like that, you know, pretty lifestyle and, you know, personal style and beauty kind of stuff, that really helped me to just really understand how to approach Instagram a lot more creatively and in a more streamlined way was really, really helpful. I really liked it. I got it off of Amazon, so it was really easy to kind of get through. You don't have to overthink it. She kind of breaks it down really cut and dry in there.
Oh, okay. Number two. Speaking of books, what has been another business book that you've applied to your business?
I would say two. I think I love Atomic Habits because I'm obsessed with productivity and in being consistent. And that was really, really helpful. And I also really enjoyed and loved Profit First. It really helped me understand and look at my money differently from a business standpoint. Because at first I was just like, okay, you know, let me just set aside this for taxes. And then, you know, then I can spend my money any way I want. And Profit First really got me together very immediately. And okay. So I like that.
Number three, what is a non-negotiable part of your daily routine?
Prayer, making up my bed, and coffee.
All right. Number four, what is a personal habit that helped you significantly back in the side hustling days?
Waking up early. Those 5 a.m. wake ups is, I think somebody, one of my followers said it to me, I think like last month, they're like, you're reaping the benefits of those 5 a.m. mornings that you would like post and stuff like that. And I was like, you're absolutely right. Those were seeds sown and I'm seeing the fruit of those. So waking up early, it's just unmatched. The uninterrupted time is unmatched.
And finally, number five, what is your parting advice for fellow Black women entrepreneurs who want to be their own boss, but are worried about losing a steady paycheck?
Honor yourself and do what you say you're going to do. You know, I think a lot of times we have that fear when we do not consistently honor ourselves. So I think the reason why those 5 a.m. mornings were so great was because that was a way I was able to personally honor myself, you know, and not just hold myself accountable, but do what I said I was going to do for myself. That's, to me, that's a reflection of self-love and it's a reflection of discipline. So yes, losing quote unquote a good paycheck, you know, a steady paycheck is scary. But if you do what you say you're going to do, you have more than enough to not only make that paycheck up, but blow it out the water with that idea or that side hustle that is really, you know, essentially your business and could be a blessing to others.
Amen. So where can people connect with you after this episode?
You can check out my blog at maddiejames.com/blog, and you can connect with me anywhere on social, like literally everywhere at the Maddie James. So Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, all of that at the Maddie James on all social platforms.
And there you have it, you guys. Hey guys, thanks for listening to Side Hustle Pro. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other side hustlers just like you to find the show. And if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Side Hustle Pro. Plus, sign up for my 6-bullet Saturday newsletter at sidehustlepro.co/newsletter. When you sign up, you will receive weekly nuggets from me, including what I'm up to, personal lessons, and my business tip of the week. Again, that's sidehustlepro.co/newsletter to sign up. Talk to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.